so much for coming to this breakout. The breakout title is Flourishing in Difficult Times. And I'm pretty sure probably most of you came with kind of a, maybe a preconceived idea of what that means, right? That's kind of a little bit of a loaded phrase, right? What is difficult times? And we'll share a few. We're going to share a little bit of our testimony kind of interspersed throughout, but mainly we want to have today just a conversation about this topic. Because I think at some point in your marriage, if you have not already gone through that, there will be times at least one of you, and that's going to be a thing to think about. You know, sometimes us and our spouse can be on different pages with that. At least one of you will be going through what is considered a difficult time, right? And so what are some things we can think about? What are some principles we can learn from? What are some important things to kind of turn towards here, right? So that's the objectives today. We'll talk a little bit, kind of review from last night about the difference between surviving and thriving. And then we'll look at just a few of those aspects about navigating difficult times. And then we want to give you some time to reflect. We have an activity that we're going to give you some time to think about and just to kind of capture it. Okay. So to frame that up, I want you to quietly reflect, you know, I want you to verbal, but just quietly reflect on this question. Okay. First by yourself, and then I'm going to ask you to share with your spouse, but I just want you to think, okay, what is the most difficult thing that you've been through in your marriage? What's the most difficult thing that you've been through in your marriage? So just take 30 seconds and capture something in your head. Okay, you got an idea or two? And then I want you just to turn to your spouse and just take 30 seconds and share with your spouse what you thought your most difficult thing was.
Now, various years of marriage are represented in this room and at home. Just curious, how many of you said the same thing? How many of you said, you and your spouse said the same thing, that that was the most difficult thing? Okay, more or less. All right. For those of you at home, only a couple of the couples
said the same thing.
Raise their hand first thing in the same thing. I think the key in that, obviously, some of you who have been married not very many years, you will kind of learn that's maybe what's difficult for one spouse is not necessarily for the other. But as I think the seasoned marriages in here would say, for marriage specific, those as marriage goes on, I think tend to be the same. I don't, that's not just necessarily a straight caveat, but just some things to think about when asking that question. And we'll bring this question up again in a few other rhetorical ways. So go ahead and go on. The difference with difficult times, like Arlen said, maybe you signed up for this breakout because we're the only option left, or maybe you signed up for this breakout because you, you're currently in a difficult season of marriage. Maybe you're coming out of that difficult season of marriage, or maybe the Lord has something difficult planned coming up. Whatever that presuppose is, by choosing this breakout session, surviving and thriving. The theme of this year's marriage conference is flourish. So often I think in marriages, we focus on, man, are we in a really good spot? This is a good spot. We're communicating well. We're understanding, whether there's children in the marriage, grandkids, that type of thing, right? There's all of these circumstances, jobs, and so forth, where you kind of know, where are we at? Are we surviving or are we thriving? So the first kind of little intro up here is, what does that look like? For Arlen and I's sake, for this specific breakout, we kind of broke it into surviving and thriving and what it looks like for us. We're going to give you, as Arlen said, from time to time as we go through these slides, some teaching, some concepts, and then we will give a few testimonials. So just because it's up here for surviving, maybe for us, does not necessarily mean it's for you. That's a good thing, right?
Our
story doesn't have to be your story, okay? But I think you get the idea by doing this kind of like little T-chart activity here. Surviving typically means it's a highly stressful time. You, your spouse, maybe both, just kind of know your blood pressure rises, you're not sleeping well at night. What are all those physiological triggers that kind of indicate you are in a really survival time? What does that look like for you? All right. Some examples, transitions, whether it's a new job, moving, you know, new location, new home. Maybe it's no job, right? Oftentimes we think of a hard surviving time as a loss of a loved one. It can be a public loss, it can be a private loss. That definitely is a survival time. Highly stressful. Remodeling. Throw a low hanging fruit in those. Remodeling, although some of you did not sign up for this breakout, Flourishing Through Difficult Times, to hear about Arlen and Katie Miller's remodeling experience.
Seems to keep coming up often.
You've listened to anything we've ever done. Remodeling or some kind of big project, big life goal, concept, that type of thing. Highly stressful time can be, right? COVID, coming into year 2021, what 2020 looked like. Caleb gave an excellent example in this morning's main session.
About the date.
About the predictable cycle. And all of our predictabilities just flew out the window. Whether it was school, job, remote, church, dining. You know, all of those first world things that are very predictable in our life just went out the window. So for your marriage, I would say most of us in this room, whether we weathered COVID well, whether we're weathering it, current tense, well, it's potentially a highly stressful thing. One of the key pieces of surviving, though, I want to encourage you in, is generally these are point in time, events, circumstances, situations. I think the Lord knows, he knows difficult times are going to be with us. It's not meant to last necessarily forever, though. Okay? It's not meant when Katie Miller was born to when Katie Miller dies, right? Those difficult things ebb and flow and change, but they're for a season. They're for a point in time. Some of us in COVID right now can hardly think that, but right, if you think of where we were last March and where we are now, we're still not in that same spot where we were in March and April, right? That point in time is changing for us. And it can, though. What else do I have? Oh, yeah, it will look different over the years. The season marriage isn't here can look at us on compassion. Some of those who have been married maybe 10 plus years, to those of you who have been married 0 to 5 years, and say, you will get through this. You will get through this. By God's grace, you will get through this. Ted gave us some great examples of that last night. So it will look different. What surviving means will look different in different seasons of your marriage. And then also it can have a lasting impact on your marriage. How we weather a specific difficult time in our marriage now or 5 years ago will continue to have grace, will continue to give us leverage, give us hope going into a potential another difficult time. So just some things to think about there. Thriving, what does that look like, or what's the definition of that? When we decided to put a definition out, and we're like, I don't know what that looks like, though. No, we're kidding. We do know what it looks like. It's that confidence that Caleb talked about this morning. It's not the static connection. I love that cell phone example, right? We maybe disagree on things, but we're connecting. We're communicating. We're on the same page. We're moving towards the goal, whether it's parenting, jobs, ministry. There's a synergy of what surviving looks like. It's a sustaining condition, right? When things get hard with your spouse in your marriage, it's that I'm going to offer grace because I know this is not a statement, a point in time, that type of thing. It's a sustaining piece, what thriving looks like. It's going to vary for every couple. God blessed each of these marriages in here and at home with various different gifts and talents and strengths. He also blessed us with different weaknesses, okay? So definitely use mentors and stuff when you think about this, but it's a piece that it's going to be so unique for each couple. And kind of embrace that, actually. That is a beautiful thing for your marriage and what God has blessed you with. Daily habits and disciplines can encourage growth in this area. What we do, I think, often in our daily, mundane, everyday patterns, habits, and so forth, I think can help sustain us as a thriving piece. Oftentimes we focus on emotions, right? Humans are emotional. When we're feeling good and happy, we're like, oh, we're thriving. And when we're not, we're surviving. I try to set that aside because honestly, I think some of our best thriving moments have been just living life in the everyday, the mundane, the patterns and so forth. Okay, so don't think it's going to be this like mountain high experience. I would love for it to be the, you know, the week long vacation we get to just connect, no kids, no responsibilities, no, you know, committee members, no jobs. That's not life. That's not real, right? So we're building up that time, and those times are important, but it's not that daily habit discipline.
To that point, you know, we had some time with some couples just a little bit ago, just a couple weekends ago, and we kind of used them as a test case, right? We asked them some questions. We said, you know, tell us about surviving and tell us about thriving, because it can start to be like this either or, right? And surviving is bad and thriving is good. And you always want to be good. You never want to be bad, right? That type of thing, right? And a couple of them had a good point. They're like, you know, there's a lot of life where it's kind of in the middle, right? You feel like you're going through life and you're in the middle, right? And maybe there's some times in your life, and we'll call those out maybe later today, where it's like, this was survival mode, right? This was just getting through. This was about giving grace, right? And just giving each other grace and just realizing if we get up the next day, we've had a victory type of thing, right? And then sometimes there are those moments when you're like, this seems wonderful. I remember the first few years of our marriage. We've been married for 14, going on 15 years. The first few years of our marriage, right, were pretty smooth. They really were. Looking back, we're like, there was not a lot of heavy stressors. And we were talking to one of our mentor couples, you know, and they kind of just smirked and says, well, just wait. Just wait. Right?
Lovingly.
Right. But encourages, right? That, you know, the cycles come, good times come, hard times come, right? But it's about kind of knowing where you're at in the moment.
Yeah.
And rejoicing no matter where you're at in the moment, right? So maybe, you know, 10% of the time you're surviving, 10% of the time you're really on that mountaintop thriving, but there's a lot in the middle where it's about these daily disciplines, it's about these practices, it's about communication, it's about these little things that then lead towards a pattern of behavior that's in the healthy way.
That the one couple gave it almost a statistical, like 10% is, you know, you're surviving 10%, you're thriving, and maybe 80% is in the middle. I give you that word picture if you're a visual learner in here, not because, you know, all of your stuff needs to fit in those quantifiers, but it gives you an idea of like, okay, I can offer grace. We're going to ebb and flow towards surviving, but then we also go backwards. It gives a great, great visual that actually survival is needed sometimes, right? Scripture would speak to that about refining and pressures and coming out pure and God working on our hearts. Surviving often, if you think of thriving, actually comes after surviving. Okay. Thriving actually comes after surviving. So there's some pieces there. Let's go on to the four objectives for navigating difficult times. Some four pieces here we'll speak to. Arlen, go ahead.
Okay, so there's four points we're going to bring up. And again, I don't know if after you leave, you'll say, oh, that was profound. We're not expecting that, right? What we're expecting is some reminders, right? Often that's the best truth from the word, is it just speaks to us and says, these are the things you know. Now it's about doing them, right? And so there's four things we'll walk through. The first one is just this purposing to turn toward each other. Then the second one is about grounding each other in the knowledge of God, communicating together, and then engaging in couple care. Will be the fourth one. So I'll walk through a couple of them and we'll go kind of back and forth as we do that. So I don't know exactly what the vows looked like whenever you were married, right? On your wedding day, whatever church you're in, right? And when you said your vows to each other, I'm not sure exactly what they said. This is kind of a common, it might have been something similar to this, right? From this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer or poor, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death do us part. Right? Something along those lines. We said those vows when we got married together, right? Now, how many of you, when you were standing up there in front of the church, you know, how many of you are thinking, yes, I am excited about the worse, the poorer, you know, the sickness, you know, that's what I'm looking
forward to, right?
You probably, most likely, those didn't even necessarily cross our minds, right? In fact, at least I can remember, we're like, oh, that won't be a big deal, right? There will be two of us, right? We'll get through it together, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? But the reality is there's a really important principle in that, and there's an important commitment level thing that goes on there, right? You can look at all the research, right? All the different studies, you know, of marriages and which ones are resilient, which ones are successful, which ones last a long time, and some of the best conclusions, because I like simple, right? Some of the best conclusions I've seen is they say this is the key, right? right? This is one famous researcher says, this is the key. Couples that last through hard stuff. And they're talking about couples that have gone through really serious stuff that we're not really touching today. Things like betrayal and addiction and trauma and deep stuff where maybe even more help is needed and that kind of thing. Even those couples, the key is if couples turn towards each other, that's just their discipline. They turn towards each other as opposed to away from each other. That makes all the difference in the world, right? It's that commitment level of saying we are going to turn towards each other as opposed to just that natural pattern. I think you kind of picture two couples, you know, on a couch, right? And they're just side by side and talking, and then they start to get a little bit further apart and then a little bit further apart. Maybe they're looking different directions. It's just life, right? We would say, well, it's just life. Well, it's hard and we can't communicate, or we pursue and distance, right? You know, the cycles that we play. That's the key discipline, though. If we turn towards each other, right? If couples turn towards each other, no matter what, that's the key to success.
When I think of the vows I took, I think of it in today's term. I love this, you know, the wording we use, the scriptures, the vows we say. I think for me, when I took those vows, now looking back, it means I'm going to fight for my marriage. Mm-hmm. What am I willing to do to turn towards him to fight for our marriage? Mm-hmm. What can I do? What can I specifically do, and what can he do? That's a great way to say our vows and what that means. So
let's go on to the next one. Yeah. So the next one is, again, this is kind of a resiliency thing, but it's an important thing that I think we can never take for granted. It's the idea of being able to ground yourself or anchor yourself in something solid, something lasting. And as a believer, we are called to ground ourselves in God, right? No matter what. And that's actually, frankly, one of the hardships of the last year of COVID, is that so many typical anchors in our lives are in upheaval, right? And so we find ourselves grasping to, well, what's normal, or what are we supposed to be doing here, and that kind of a thing. And it's important in any type of situation, right? Difficult situation of any type, is to find that ground or that anchor and come back to it. Ground yourself in the knowledge of God. Figure out a way to have that discipline of going back to the truth of the scripture amidst the waves of emotions, right? You're walking through our self-talk and thinking about the lies we're telling ourselves and saying, okay, what does the scripture say? And do I believe it? Now, here's the key piece for this, I think. And this is something that we have, I guess, personally learned, and I know others of you have learned this as well. What that looks like for me, or how I will experience, say, grief, or how I will experience frustration, or what frustrates me versus what frustrates Katie, or how she experiences grief, it's different. Right? We're going to walk through life differently. And that's okay. I remember we both, since our marriage, right, we both have lost our fathers. I just lost my father within the last year, and Katie lost hers 10 years ago. Yeah. And I remember we were newly, 5 years in, 10 years ago, when she lost her dad. And I remember watching her walk through that grief. And there was a point, and luckily God stopped me, right? There was a point when I wanted to try to tell her how to grieve, right? And I, in my naivety, right, I'm thinking, well, that's not how I would process this. Or why is she reacting this way? Or why is she thinking, and yet I've learned, right, as we've walked through life together and grieved other types of losses, you know, we realize we process it differently and we walk through it differently. And she has been a blessing to me this last year as I've walked through the passing and the sickness and passing of my dad to help me in the midst of the emotions to just ground myself back on God. And that's the key principle here. Don't try to assume that it's all going to be the same or look the same, but have that discipline or that activity where you figure out, how do I draw my spouse closer to God? How do I hold them accountable to believing the promises of Scripture in the midst of hard things? Anything else here? And so, you know, God will speak, the last line there, God will speak differently in our lives, but he will speak if we hold each other accountable. And I think that is the key piece.
I'm wondering right now, like I'm thinking through for us, be thinking right now how you listen to God speak. Mm-hmm. How does that look like? It might be an action. It might be a prayer, a spirit-led decision. And then how does your spouse listen to how God speaks to him or her? What does that grounding look like? It might be what their devotions look like. It might be what's important to them spiritually. Is it conversation you're having? Is it Bible study groups? You know, what? How would you answer that question for yourself right now? Number one, because your spouse, if you can't answer for yourself, don't assume your spouse is going to guess it for you. And then number two, could you answer that for your spouse? Like, how do, I know how Arlen listens, hears, interprets, and it's in his morning devotion time. It's in his hour, like, very disciplined devotion time. I'll let you guess if that's the same for myself, okay? But we've had to learn to come to an understanding of that, and that's just a practical, simple, how do we both ground ourselves? It's key. It's key to understand it in that 80% everyday mundane, but it's super key to understand and offer grace in that 10% survival.
I would say one other piece, which is a little bit different than this, but I think it ties into just the differences in ourselves. Again, in the last year, we'll say. Katie knew that I needed time. I needed time with Dad. He was close. I was able to visit him. I was one of the primary caregivers, so there's a lot of appointments and meetings and different things going on. And she also knew that I wasn't going to be as available for the family. There'd be times I'd say, you know what, I need to pop out and be with Mom and Dad just a little bit, right? But I think part of what it was that you realize is that this is a point in time, right? This is that survival point in time. This is temporary. And we talked about it. I'd like to think we talked about it well, at least in my mind. but we talked about it knowing that, you know what, for this season, this is what life looks like. Right? Now, you can imagine playing that out in a scenario where you don't have that communication or you don't talk that through. You can imagine that where one couple starts to build up resentment or starts to question or starts to wonder and say one half the couple starts to say, why is this happening this way versus having that open and honest conversation. So that's what.
Towards the end of his dad's life here on earth, it was a really busy time for us. We were raising we had a tag along baby, and we chose some different committee and responsibilities in the community and at school and so forth. And so it was a super busy time. And had God not allowed me the grace to say, Katie, you weren't allowed this grief necessarily when your dad passed, for geographic reasons, I wasn't geographically close at the time, I was able to grieve and help support him in that survival time. I would have never unselfishly chosen that. I'll be real honest. I wouldn't have. I would not have. I know for sure myself. I would not have. I would have been bitter. I would have been angry. I'd have been, why is he choosing them? Doesn't he understand leaving and cleaving? Right? All of these things would have just like risen up. And yet God said, this is grace. It's a point in time. You need to offer that to Arlen right now. And it was beautiful that you did.
Pointing us towards that figure. Mm-hmm. Why don't you talk about communication?
Yeah, let's go on together. Communicate together. Caleb queued this one up nicely for us this morning. He gave us some great graphics, if you're a visual learner, to kind of go through that. I did notice in the back of a booklet, if you did do those take-home activities for him today, they called it the pursuer distancer. That's the same as the pursuer withdraw, obviously, if you figured that synonym out there. But communicating this together is key. Know who each is. Know what your Jim and Sally situation there that Caleb gave us the illustration of, and use that as a way to communicate during difficult times. That's key. If you're not ready to talk about something with withdrawer, you need to communicate that. But you can't just say, I'm not ready to talk about this. Give yourself a boundary and say, I'm not ready to talk about this right now, but I will be when the kids are put to bed, or give me a week to pray about it, right? Give a specific, that pursuer is going to be relentless until you know that, okay? And likewise, pursuer, respect that. Respect that, but that they're not ready to talk about that difficult situation, their survival situation. But then also follow up in love and keep that love prayer and not the fix-it prayer in your heart. Communicating allows us to offer grace to each other. It keeps us in focus of not making assumptions. We all tell ourselves stories. We do it for sure in our marriage, our most intimate relationship here on earth. And sometimes we're brutal in that relationship. So communication allows me, okay, that's what Arlen meant. He didn't mean it this way. Oh, that's better, right? And likewise, if I continually am not communicating, right, it just allows us to offer grace when we need to and not make assumptions. It helps clarify. Sometimes he may say something, but I misunderstood it. So the communication piece is key. And expect to have different experiences and different intensities. Let's go into the next slide to kind of illustrate that last bullet point there. On your handout here and at home, you have what looks like a grief timeline. Okay, has anybody done one of these before? We're going to use the word grief here as kind of, let's call it a difficulty timeline. Okay, it's just a timeline in general, because we're going to do a couple aspects here. For the next few minutes, I want you to think about your life. If you've been married a while and you're a seasoned marriage in here, I would say 15 plus years. I would actually start for timeline's sake when you first got married. Okay, if you're a little bit younger, 10 under marriage in here, you can start where you feel is necessary. The reason being, this does not have to be like specific. Like if you're a linear thinker in here, okay, like it doesn't have to be 10 year increments, right? I just want you generally to think about your life, your marriage is part of that, obviously, and start tracking and start creating a timeline of some difficult pieces. So that first rhetorical question you answered is going to probably be a part of this, I'm guessing. And you're going to create a line and maybe just jot a name, a note, some event, some circumstance in your life that was difficult for you. Okay. The longer the line of difficulty, the more intense the emotion, the feeling, the situation. Okay? So some lines might be shorter, some lines might be longer. All right. At the same time you're doing that, wherever you're starting your timeline again, younger marriages, maybe before marriage, seasoned marriages, maybe a little just starting that marriage, you're also going to track some joys and blessings. All right? And those would be in the positive way. Again, the more joyful, the bigger a blessing, the longer the line will be. Doesn't have to be exact with year. Like this year, this time, was it January, June? Don't get muddled in the details, okay? Just get some general.
You're getting a sense of negatives kind of in your life, or hard in your life, right? Difficulties, and a sense of positives, and a sense of how strong they were. Right, yep. How strong those events were.
The longer the line down, the more intense the difficulty. The longer the line up, the more joyful the experience, etc.
So they should do separately. Probably.
Yep. Each spouse, go ahead. We're going to give you about
2 or 3 minutes. 5 minutes. 5 minutes.
All right, for time's sake, we're going to kind of keep marching on here, but if you didn't feel like you adequately got to share or want to continue, this is a great continuation. We do have a few other take-home activities for you to do. Overall, hard, awkward, how'd this go? Easy? Okay, good. I think for myself, Arlen and I actually did this we just did it in preparation for this talk again, but we did this together about 5 or 6 years ago. When we specifically, individually, myself mostly, were kind of stuck. We were just really, really stuck. I was stuck. I couldn't, I knew cycles, I knew myself, and I just couldn't get through. What this, I think, showed me, and hopefully showed you, and you could learn from it, is oftentimes with hardships or difficulties on this top part here, there's a cumulative effect. Right? Sometimes there's a lot of difficulties within a span of 3 or 4 years. And when you're in it, you don't realize it. And then when you get out of it and kind of look at it on something like this, if you're a visual learner, you're like, wow, it was one thing after another after another. Now, grief often is experienced with like a specific loss of a loved one. It can be public, such as Arlen and I shared. It can also be private. Growing a family, infertility, recurrent loss. It can be private, as in financial issues that maybe aren't public. It can be public with a job move, or public with no job, right? So grief in this sense often is associated with death, but we also want to kind of broaden your horizons of what that looks like and get you in a sense, maybe it's a grief of an unmet expectation, right? There's a lot of things that could be represented up here. If you're a visual learner, hopefully you kind of saw that and learned from that. And you can also see last night in the session, one of the guests mentioned lots of times those hardships, those difficulties are right either before a thriving, right, on your timeline. And so hopefully that's true for your life as well, as God's speaking and moving. So just some things to think about and learn from that.
I'm curious how many of you had similar, like when you compared it together, were yours pretty similar? I mean, pretty much
generally.
some main points, right? Or anybody kind of different? Like there's certain things kind of pop out to others? Sometimes you see that, especially on the intensity,
right?
I mean, sometimes one spouse will mark things very differently than the other spouse did. But it does. I mean, if you've got a lot down here in the bottom, right, that's a time of extra grace for each other and for yourself, right? That's a hard season in life. And if you got stuff up on the top or lines up on the top, that's great. That's wonderful. And don't forget to mark those, right? What's the scripture say? We are to rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep, right? And we like to think, oh, we'll weep with those that weep. But let's remember the rejoicing, right? We are to rejoice with those that rejoice. And God gives us those moments. And sometimes in the midst of that difficulty, or just some personalities are this way, we can become overly identified with difficulty and grief,
yeah,
right? And we can let our marriage be only defined by that. All we talk about is this hard thing. All we talk about is this difficulty. All we talk about is what's not right, right? And so then there's a discipline of saying, no, let's share praise requests too, right?
Yeah.
And let's share the praises in the midst of that as well. So, last part.
Yeah, let's go ahead. The last one is engaging in couple care. And again, this is not rocket science. This is pretty good, like, general reminder. In order to thrive during or survive, engaging in couple care is key. And the biggest piece I want you to take, right? Self-care is a great buzzword right now. What's your self-care, right? Why not use couple care, right? That's equally important for a marriage. Healthy church, healthy ministry comes from healthy marriages. And so what are we doing together? Exercising. That's you? Great. Different hobbies, reading, etc. Build this couple care into a discipline. Make it easy. Make it feasible for both of you. Okay, couple care is not one spouse's specific love language and forgetting about the other spouse's. Okay, it's trying to find something on common ground. Healthy couple care builds margin. Caleb is really, really big on this in marriage and family therapy. If you do not have that love bucket, if you do not have that margin built up, when surviving hits, when difficulties hit, you don't have that extra reservoir of grace, okay? In order to have that during difficult survival times, that needs to be built up, and part of that is couple care, okay? Part of that is couple care, that communication, that connection. And attempt to use it as a time of connection. Arlen and I love date nights, but if we're not careful, it's logistics, constants, it's scheduling, always talking about the calendar, always talking about logistics. Kids here, you know.
I have no idea what she's talking about.
What is on his heart? What is a frustration at work? What is a praise at work? What's on my heart? Where am I thinking our kids for discipleship are at? All of these pieces, right? Insert your examples there. But couple care is key. You need to build it into feasible. Some of our examples that we'll share testimonial-wise, honestly, I think COVID actually helped with some of these couple care things. It gave us the time. He was no longer commuting, so instead of his commutes and calling me, we would engage in different conversations at different times. Walk talks, a couple that we met several years ago during our marriage seminar out in California, I don't even think they called it walk talks, so we were interviewing them. They had built this a long, they're retired and empty nesters now, but long ago.
20 years more.
And they were from the frigid North Midwest. They figured out a way to just, if it was 15 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, different stages of their marriage, to do walk talks. And they were super intentional during their walks about talking about where each other is at in their marriage, their daily life. For us, it's been listening to the same podcasts or sermons. We listen to one podcast almost every day. For myself with young children, both high school history teachers too, so we like the challenge of the culture and the piece behind it. It gives me adult conversation. It challenges my mind a little bit and just gives me perspective. And it's a great way for us to connect on cultural issues, that type of thing.
And it's an idea of trying to be intentional, right? What we're trying to do is we're being intentional about building up communication, building up conversation, building up focusing on each other. Because if you just wait until the hard times, the difficult times to do that, right? You don't have any margin, right? Margin is about doing it in the good times. So it becomes a discipline so you don't miss it. You cannot but do it at some point is the goal there.
And we both said too, when we said, well, what are our couple of cares? He instantly said travel.
It is. I mean, that's what we like to do.
He loves the planning. He loves the adventure.
Or even talking about it. Yeah.
Because sometimes he'll, you know, forward me an email about a Viking River cruise on special, you know. That
we just, wouldn't this be nice someday? Yeah.
Where would you go? What does that look like? Do you see? It's just the dreaming. It's the connection. It's the companionship. It's It's, I know you're still dreaming, dear, but yes, it shifts our focus for even a few minutes. It's great to do. So here's some of your take home for time's sake. In your activities, these are not in your booklet, but obviously you have it here in your handout of just discussing one way you can encourage your spouse towards accountability and the truth of the word. Think about that rhetorical question I asked you. What does that look like for your spouse? And then how can you encourage him or her in that? What does that look like? Okay. Second one, talk through one hard thing you are currently going through. So you have a timeline of maybe the past, right? What is one hard thing right now, maybe individually and then for your marriage? It's going to affect your marriage, regardless if it's just one spouse or both of you. And then also build the discipline around one couple care activity. What is feasible? Okay. What is feasible? And what do you both
enjoy? Both like to do. Yeah. And again, hopefully these are just some things to think about, right? Some disciplines to think about, some activities to think about, or just some ways to frame this up. And again, whether you're in the midst of a difficult time, whether you will be in the future, whether you're coming off of a difficult time, I mean, God is good. God is faithful. And we've been blessed with an opportunity to be in a marriage relationship for our whole life, a committed marriage relationship with a partner our whole life. But sometimes we need to remember that and then use the disciplines to steer ourselves during those hard times.
So couple care, communicate, purpose to turn towards each other, and then grounding each other in the word. Thanks so much
for
listening. And yeah. Any questions?